Prague, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to yet another interview for Tango TV. I think this is the seventh or eighth in the series, so we haven't died yet, apparently. That's due in no small part to guests of the kind that are on the program today. Just the one, though, unfortunately. Chorus is not joined by Christus. We were trying to get them on together, weren't we? But, yeah, you were slated with Christus from the get. You're on the cards right since the project's inception. So it's unfortunate that you wasn't able to get that double billing. That would have been quite something. And actually, now that I've brought up Christus, I'd like to actually talk a little bit about your sort of working relationship with him and whether there's more than meets the eye. Because it always appeared to me that you sort of bounced off each other quite well. Are you good friends in real life, or just collaborate a lot in the community?
Yeah, we're quite good friends in life. It's a pretty good place to start, really, as I pretty well started my level design career, if you will, around Christus. Back in 2005, I approached him about his Nimrod Project Doom.
Yes.
Level design set. Mm-hmm. Back when I had absolutely no idea what the hell I was doing. And, yeah, said, hey, this is a map of mine, what do you think? And he very kindly dismissed me and gave me some good criticism. And, yeah, we kept in contact ever since, and he saw me develop, and, yeah.
Well, that's good. It seems like we don't really have many working relationships like that in the Doom community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's good to be able to have something like that, and it helps with your mapping career, if we can call it that.
For sure. I mean, we bounce off each other these days. I mean, it's definitely a two-way thing now.
Did you actually work on any projects together, or was it just more of a sort of getting feedback of each other's work, that sort of thing?
Never directly, I don't think. I've contributed a map to his Hexen project. I can't remember the subtitle now, but it's the second Curse project.
Oh,
but,
yeah,
That's not really it.
That's all I know.
Mm-hmm. Curse of the Demon Gods, I think.
That's right, yeah.
But that's not so much a collaboration as such as a little bonus, if you will.
Yes. Sweet. And you guys were actually doing a Curse of Despero playthrough on YouTube, and I was watching that intently, and then all of a sudden, after like Map 4, you guys just disappeared.
Ages. Yeah, Chris just keeps bugging me about uploading the rest of that. I have to get back to that, I think.
You've had it this entire time? You just haven't uploaded it?
Oh, yeah, we played through all of Ganymede Episode 1 as well, and my first Strike project.
I was... Oh, well.
Oh, now that I know I have a fan base there.
Yeah, we exist, that's right. I'm probably one of the only, like, 20 views or something. Anyway, let's start from the beginning. So I actually want to know when the beginning was for you, because I'm taking a look at your early releases, and I think the first episode of Base Ganymede was released in 2008 or 9 or something. Did you map before then, or was that when you started, roughly?
Oh, no, I started... The very first game I started doing some stuff for was Half-Life 1.
Oh, right.
But that was 2004, but I never... I got the concepts down of 3D design, but I never really... persisted. I managed to build a square room and then cut into one brush and build a rectangle corridor from there, but I never really kept that going. But in 2005 is when I actually came onto the scene under the regrettable name of Evil Homer Doomer. And
well, that's a kernel of that's a gem, that is.
Yeah,
I haven't heard that.
Yeah, that's we won't go there, but I started in the Skull Tag community, actually, creating single-player maps, and my series there was called Total Darkness, which wound up having...
I hadn't heard of that, actually.
It wound up having 6 maps in that series, but they're all terrible, each one just as bad as the other, but...
That's actually quite surprising, to be honest, that you started that in Skull Tag. I wouldn't have guessed it, because aside from... Well, I mean, I think you're using Vanilla Strife, were you? Or were you using Z-Doom, when you made Absolute Order?
My first Strife project was just limit removing Strife, but it had music, so any port, I mean, I think we learned the Zedum can play it, maybe Vavoom, but yeah, absolute order.
I was sort of surprised, because I think other than that, I don't think you've actually used any sort of advanced source port features in any release you've made. It's all been mostly vanilla or limit removing work, I think.
Yes, that's correct, outside of my first year and a half or so. Well, yeah.
Let's, let's talk a little bit about mapping discipline. This is something I wanted to get into pretty quickly, because I want to take a look at something like Base Ganymede, which from its initial release of episode 1 right through to its release last year, took, must have been 4 years on the whole. And then you compare that to something like Speedy Ship, which took a month. So let's just talk through the different mapping disciplines there, because I know some people come out of the woodwork and say, I would like to make a megawad. It's going to be a speedy megawad. I'm going to get shit done, speedy shit, as quickly as I possibly can. And then, of course, they throw on the towel pretty early because it just can't be done. How do you get the metal to go through something that fast?
Speedy shit. Yeah, that was an interesting time for me. I suddenly had a lot of free time, and I had a crazy idea, and yeah, I had the willpower, I suppose, to just say, let's just give this a go, and every day just had the discipline somehow. I'm not quite sure how. I couldn't do it again, I don't think. Yeah,
when you completed it, you had no idea what you've done.
Yeah, pretty well. I mean, some of those maps, honestly, I hadn't even play tested. I just pumped them out and just threw them out there. And wow. Yeah.
That's interesting to know, because I attempted my first speed map about 5 days ago. And its inception wasn't a very sensible one, because Mark Haik, who is another member of Doomworld, frequents the ISE channel that I'm on. And he lost his glasses on that day, and he couldn't see anything. I thought, what an excellent idea, / stupid. I'll take off my glasses, sit 3 feet away, and speed map blind. I haven't released the work, and I won't release the work, because it's the biggest monstrosity ever to grace id Games, at least if I didn't release it. But I can see the attraction, and I think it's a good discipline to have, to be able to speed map.
Yeah, I think it's goes around you having the putting aside the thought behind level design and instead focusing directly on images you come up with your mind and what you can play off with the editor, which is interesting to me, because normally, like for Ganymede, for instance, most of those maps were long thought out processes that I stewed over. Whereas, didn't think, just put down architecture and just built some gameplay around it.
And if you take the results of both of those projects, then just disregard the fact that one took 1 month and the other one took 4 years. how do you compare the result? I mean, are you more satisfied with one than the other?
I think Speedy Shit has some of my strongest work I've ever done.
Yeah.
I think that's not so much a result of the process of speed mapping, and more the fact that one comes across from 3 years or so of work and growth, and one is just a month.
All right. Okay. So if you tackled Speedy Shit like at the start of your career, for example, I imagine the result would have been less than
disastrous.
Less than disastrous. Okay.
Given up after two maps.
And why did you decide to release Ganymede in an episodic format rather than just stick to your guns? Is that just because you wanted to get more feedback on the fly?
It was something of an experiment for me to release work that was sort of in progress. I mean, as I released those episodes, they weren't, in my mind, finished. It was meant to be an overall megawad, but I thought that they are also their own entities, which is the strength of an episodic format, I think.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. It's something it's easier to do, I guess, with Doom than it is. Also, why Doom as opposed to Doom 2? I mean,
For Ganymede? When I create WADs, I tend to try and find a little niche that I think needs filling. And at the time of Ganymede, I thought there could be there was a real need for a Doom WAD that had some difficulty to it, but it wasn't, you know, it didn't feel unfair to the player.
Yeah.
But it was a challenge, you know.
It seems to me that, you know, typically, more said beforehand, when somebody wanted to tackle or do one mega one, they'd make sure they'd also stick to the... the only exception I can think of at the moment is Double Impact, where that's only one episode. You know, they always try to stick to the same difficulty curve of having a sort of piece of piss and then just working its way up to moderate difficulty by episode three. So it was quite refreshing to be able to play through Ganymede, I think, and get balls to the wall difficulty right from the get go.
That's it. I think most Doom content is sort of recreations of Knee Deep in the Dead or trying to capture a Sandy Peterson style thing, which doesn't really appeal to me all too much, I have to say.
Actually, now that I think about it, it's almost as if Mapping for Doom hasn't really come along as much as Mapping for Doom 2 has. And in that respect, it's seen a lot more coverage, and people always, with Doom, they're always trying to adhere to the original sort of setup in some fashion, until particularly recently. So,
quite possible, yes. I think there were some very, in the early days of Doom, though, perhaps even before Doom 2 was released, some of those stronger early titles really did some interesting things, though, in terms of...
What, 1994 deviating. Maps?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Is it the Serenity series?
Rings a bell. That's all it does for me, though.
I think they were pre-Doom 2 from memory.
Yeah, well... Viewers, or listeners rather, this may be called TV, but we don't actually have any vision. Listeners, you can then go check out some of that early material. Just as
or call me on my shit and tell me that it was after Doom 2.
Yeah, that's right. Just we can come back to those two projects later, because I'm sure there's more to discuss on them. But I really do want to get into Strife as well. This is something that I think is possible to have bounced off. I'm taking a guess here. Christus's own involvement with Heretic and his desire to make Curse of Disparal. Is it possible that your decision to sort of make Absolute Order was birthed from the sort of success that had, and sort of serving as a sort of mini revival for Heretic? Or did you start beforehand, or was it completely unrelated? What was the sort of inception process like for Absolute Order?
I'd say it was an extension of Raiding the Dam, my first Strife project. Raiding the Dam was, I suppose, a speed map for Strife in a way, because it took a month, but that's quite a large map.
I think I played through it once, and yes, it was a large map.
And I'm happy with that map, but it was certainly flawed, and there was some genuinely solid criticism about that map being sort of not a Doom map with a Strife skin, but I think something along those lines, you know.
Hmm.
And I did feel that I wanted a Strife project that had its own, had its roots in Strife, rather than feeling like it had its roots in Doom, which is the basic concept of how Absolute Order came along. And I don't think I fully realized that goal, which is disappointing, but hey, inspiration for another Strife project, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm secretly hoping that it will be similar to Curse of Disparal, and that it will do some sort of resurgence. Was there
inspiration?
A hope? Yeah, when you made it, that it might kick something off there.
On a selfish level, yeah, I've always wanted more Strife maps released.
Yeah,
but to answer your previous question about did it have anything to do with Christus's curse? I think it did, in the sense that, yeah, I would like Strife to have its own mapping scene, I suppose, where I think Curse really did a fantastic job of showing that, again, Heretic maps don't need to be recreations of the stock Eyeworld maps.
Absolutely.
And instead, there's life in the creatures and weapons and items that you can do interesting things with them.
Yeah, it was. I think for both map sets, it was a real leap forward. Really raised the bar, not just in quality, but, you know, as you say, in terms of gameplay and differing from the original product. Both Curse of Disparal and Absolute Order. And it struck me, particularly that the authors who made these maps really understood the gameplay, and probably better than the developers, to be perfectly honest with you.
that's very generous of you.
Well, I mean, to take Curse of Despair, for example, I mean, when I played through the original Heretic, just the quantity of power-ups I would have just would make me just... I mean, the game was too easy. I'd throw them away. They felt valueless because it didn't really matter how I used them or where, because I could just spam the backspace button and I'd have the inventory filled again in 5 minutes flat.
Exactly.
Yeah, but with Curse of Despair, I was really made to flesh out every single power-up, and it was made worth it. And I got a similar feeling of the author's understanding, your understanding of Absolute, when I played through Strife. Although it was... It was different from the original in a different way to which Curse of Despair was different from the original Heretic, I felt, because obviously Strife is an RPG. And what I wanted to ask you is that when I was playing through Absolute Order, I could feel a heck of a lot of influence coming from you having mapped for Doom, because it didn't play as an RPG. It played very much as a sort of, a Strife set of hub maps that you would run and gun through. Was there a conscious sort of application? Were you wanting to do that, or were you ultimately going to work towards an RPG setup?
Absolute Order was originally going to be about 4 or 5 times as long as it wound up being.
Yikes.
It was going to be 4 different hub sections, the first one being this, most of what was actually released, being a sort of industrial... poor workers sort of hub with a mine and a power plant and a sewer.
Sweet.
With a second hub being more of a where the middle class live, and I can't remember the hub name in the stock iWOD, but you know it's much nicer looking with more wood and grass and trees and such everywhere, rather than brick and but and then there'd be a sort of a tech hub, and then finish up with an alien hub, and I was hoping to write a full story with dialogue and soundtrack
just
as well.
Get some voice actors there, the sort of a
exactly. Try and call in some friends and
Strife had some pretty crazy voice acting. Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think Strife had brilliant voice acting in that it knew it was juggling a balance between it was creating a world, but it didn't take itself too seriously, which is good.
Yes, absolutely. Especially for making something of that time.
Yes.
In retrospect, if it were trying to take itself seriously, it would just look silly now, especially now.
That's right, it's not System Shock 2.
that got re-released recently, didn't it? I'm living on a rock, I haven't been paying attention. I know Zace has played through it like 5 times already since it came out again. No, I think he's on his 5th run through now, actually. Yeah. So when you were mapping for Absolute Order, you must have been fairly aware that probably not a heck of a lot of people would get around to playing it.
For sure.
Yeah, so it strikes me that, you really like mapping for its own sake. Did that not faze you in any way, that you didn't think a lot of people would play it, or were you just quite happy to map just because you enjoyed doing it?
Not at all. That doesn't faze me one bit. A problem that I had when I was initially starting out was that I was working... with my level designs, hoping that people would accept me and praise me and find them to be the bee's fucking knees, but of course they weren't.
Yeah.
But I had a process about a year or two where I pretty much didn't release anything, and I came back with a completely fresh mind and worked on a little 3-map WOD that I never even advertised once, called Deadlines. And sort of a precursor to Ganymede, and I just made a vanilla map set for the first time and just didn't think at all about what others were going to think of it, and just designed purely on my own whim.
Sure.
And it's paid off. I've worked that way ever since and never looked back.
Is it easy for you to get in and sort of just begin mapping out a whim now as it was back when you first started?
For sure. I used to have issues and problems figuring out how to texture a map, but having experience, I've done work for all 5, I suppose, main iWODs.
Yep. Wow.
Now, So I just haven't really... I made a Heretic map that I never released, so everyone should do that. But doing that really helped. Let me just dive into an editor, no matter the texture set, and just experiment and just see what I can come up with and paint the architecture. And yeah.
I probably should have hedged a question I asked 2 times ago, I think, in identifying that absolutely would have played much more like Doom. Was that... In part because maybe you wanted to make it more accessible to the Doom community? Because, I mean, if it plays a bit more like Doom, I guess, yeah, people would be more willing to sort of go in and run and gun.
No, that came about as the unfortunate decision that I made to cut short what Absolute Order would be. And so I picked up the pieces. I had a spare map that I could... reskin into an alien map, which became, I think it's called Void. So I sort of, you know, picked up the rubble and did my best to bring it all together, and yeah, I didn't wind up getting any of the story elements in, but I had the soundtrack and that, so it wasn't a full-on disaster, of course.
Actually, I think inadvertently it had its own sort of positive side to it, because those who like RPGs, those who like Strife as an RPG typically also like Doom. So, I mean, if you're sacrificing that element of it, I think most people will therefore, you know, accept the fact that it plays more like Doom. That's okay.
I did hope that the at least the adventure side of Strife at least somewhat came through.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely.
I wasn't trying to handhold the player. Like, for instance, quite a few people have gotten lost just straight at the start, not figuring out, you know, smash the window
and steal
the key. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I tried to leave.
Lost, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Keep them hanging out for more.
Yeah.
But, I tried to keep that sort of thing in, as well as, you know, try to put lots of secrets everywhere and making decorate items for the stat bonuses and such. But I did my best to piece that side of it together, but yeah.
I don't know why I didn't ask this question yet. In fact, I probably should have asked it first, but why is it that you like Strife so much? you're the head honcho for the sort of Strife Appreciation Brigade or something.
That was terrible. I'd say Kaiser or Quasar deserve that honor.
That's true. In fact, they've actually released, I don't know, Kaiser's released something for Strife. He's one of the only 5.
Yes, he's released 2 projects, which are well worth playing if you haven't played them yet.
I played one of them, yes, recollect. I think I couldn't actually get the second one to work, probably just because I was lazy. Not sure about Quasar though. But yeah, why is it that you like Strife?
I think it's a very interesting combination of medieval sci-fi and cyberpunk that I think nothing else has quite captured that sort of interesting clash before or since. And
you seen the TV show Firefly?
No, I haven't. Have to say.
I don't know why I just flagged that up. I think it's just because you were talking about emerging genres, and I was just thinking of Firefly, which is sort of a sci-fi cowboy outing. Actually, no, that's I've done that several times before. Sorry, that was a needless tangent. I'm getting too comfortable here.
That's fine.
No, it's interesting that you flag up that as the primary reason, or at least one of them, because you hear quite often about why people dislike Strife, and they typically don't bring up the aesthetics of it, like you just did. And it wasn't. They highlight the gameplay, which is a bit, you know, faulty.
I think, to carry on with the aesthetic for just one moment, I think the colour of it is quite unique too. There's a clash of colours too. I mean, the greens of the slime and the trees and bushes, as well as all the brown bricks and such. I mean, I think they did a great job combining that with a very menacing alien tech in the background, foreshadowing it all. And
absolutely. Yeah.
But the gameplay, the it's certainly a flawed gameplay, definitely. But I think that's because it took a few risks with its weapon and monster layout. And sure, they don't always pay off, but I think you can do some very interesting things with it too. On the other hand.
You can make it fit, I guess, if you...
Yeah, like...
I thought the gameplay of Absolute Order was bang on.
Well, that's great to hear, thank you.
Super.
But I think, for example, the flamethrower being a weapon that dips down very rapidly instead of, like, the plasma rifle, which is an excellent mid-long-range weapon.
Yeah.
The fact that it does that while still being an excellent weapon for stunning, like, a Crusader or something, but to get close to the Crusader, you run at risk of fighting its own flamethrower, you know. I mean,
yeah.
Weapon scenarios like that are really interesting for me in Strife, yeah.
So, actually, yeah, and bringing up the RPG element and sort of the aesthetics and how it sort of complements that. It's interesting that when I play through Strife, I've actually only done so, I think, 1.5 times. I'm currently on my second playthrough, though I haven't loaded the save game in about 5 months, so that doesn't really count. But yeah, it's interesting. I think you're right in saying that there's an aesthetic there that hasn't really been captured in many, if any, games since then. In the RPG. Yeah, it's amazing how a game of that sort of era can still succeed in bringing out sort of that strong an impression, I guess.
Right. Yeah, in an odd way, I'd say a title like Dishonored sort of comes the closest to sort of recapturing that sort of feel, that oppression and that mix of almost magic and sci-fi. I mean, that alien element, it brings in the completely unknown, rather than sci-fi, which tries to, you know, make magic out of future tech. You know, it just merges all sorts of different weird things together, and I really like that.
Sweet. So let's just we're skipping over a couple of things. Yeah, I mean we'll be able to come back to it, but so many questions. Although incidentally, not from the community, which really pisses me off. Jesus, we are still alive, guys. You know, you can. Can't send any questions, bloody hell. I'm surprised Eskel didn't get any or Jimmy or the like. All you, of course. In any case, you're working on a couple of community projects now. And that's either a very precise couple, or it could be more. Or at least you were working on Back to Set Next. What was it like working for a team? Or under the tyrannical rule of Eskel Fortium?
Well, it had been a very long time since I'd done any teamwork. Back in 2006, I was part of Team Future
on
what was then RTC and is now sort of stagnant. But so it was interesting sort of working under guidelines and feedback, which I normally just leave up to the community or some close friends such as Christus. And the texture set for Saturn X is, of course, you know, brilliant and very inspirational to work with. So yeah, that was the map that I made for that was quite a joy to make.
Sure. Did you find it easy to be able to adapt to the texture set? Because I know it's massive. I've taken a look at it before, and the number of diamond tile flats.
I started working on that in the middle of Speedy Ship, and when I'd finished my map for the day, I'd sort of have a play around with some textures and had a few ideas in mind, and so when I finished Speedy Shit, dive right into my main map, and...
Super.
Yeah.
Are they all in Episode 2 and 3? So they haven't been released yet, have they?
No. It's just the one map.
Oh, it's just the one map? Was it Bulldog Skin, was it?
Yeah, Bulldog Skin, that's it.
I thought you made a second.
Oh. Yeah, I did, but I wound up converting that into Void for the Absolute Order project. That was in that
map. Yes.
I wound up converting.
Right. Well, that's interesting. Interesting.
But yeah, Bulldog Skin will be in the third episode.
Good to hear. I'm actually looking forward to the third episode, most of all, to be perfectly honest, because I think a lot of people have been complaining about...
Tech bases,
yes. And, you know, the response being, you know, there is a save button. You can come back to it later.
Right.
Judging in and of itself, I suppose that is a justified complaint, depending on how you look at it, I guess. But with Episode 3, it's an eclectic mix.
Yes.
Looks that way to me. But really, they'll have nothing else to complain about. It's 100% perfect.
And I think at least my map, the difficulty should be a little higher than the average E1 map 2, which I saw a few complaints about.
Sweet.
I think I made SL40 well and truly cry with the initial posting of my map.
Doesn't taste a lot to make him cry. Oh, God, that sounded quite harsh. It sounds like a bit torturing or something. So, I mean, how involved were you in the sort of team process? I mean, did you more or less just come in, take the text you set, get some feedback, and then make them happen and leave off? Or were you slightly involved?
Pretty well. I did very little testing of other people's maps. I sort of kept to my own little world. I didn't really want to see what too many other people were up to with their texture set, as I thought that would sort of warp my own vision, perhaps, of what I could do with them. But, so I'm pretty well looking forward to seeing what's coming out of episode 2 and 3, as most others are.
Oh, so you have? Oh, you haven't played through majority of the,
No.
after completing the maps you made? Oh.
Yeah, I decided to wait for the final released versions.
Well, that must be torturous. And of course, the other community project you're in at the moment is, at least the other one I'm aware of, unless you're in more, is Secret Santa.
Yes, I haven't touched my map in, 6 months maybe.
Well, of course, you're not at liberty to say who exactly you're imitating, but it's something I asked of Jimmy because I was interested to hear his response, and I think I'm doubly interested to hear your response to the particular question, which is, how do you adapt to someone else's style, and are you very comfortable with it? Because for someone like Jimmy, or yourself, I mean, Jimmy, of course, is on Genesis, and you've also got a couple of megawatts now is your name. You've obviously found like a groove with your style. Is it very easy to slip in and out of someone else's style, do you think?
No.
Yeah.
Short answer, but to get into it more, perhaps I played a lot of my author's maps, and I tried to understand how he'd sort of construct a room, and just looked at his architecture and. Well, gee, it's not too much to give away saying that it's he, is it? But, so I just tried my best to analyze and, get a rough understanding of the sort of maps they prefer to make, their gameplay, and I think it's wound up coming too much like a chorus map myself.
It's all the effort, I guess. It's not like for a project like Doom the way it did, for example, where you really are trying to fool the player into thinking that it's made by Sandy or something like that. I guess with this project, it's all about seeing how well they performed in trying to switch, integrate each other's styles or whatever.
Yeah, sure. And I think the great thing about that, the idea behind the Santa project, is that it doesn't really matter if it was successful. If it pushed a few people to change the way they think and approach their level designs, and I think
right.
that's
a thing. Yes. I always think that's the most interesting thing about those sort of projects, or projects that demand that you adhere to some sort of limitation or otherwise change your style. It can help to evolve your own style a little bit. That's increasingly becoming the case, I think, with some of the community projects we're seeing at the moment. I think if you take a look at the WODs and MODs forum right now, you'll probably see about 8 different megawatts with some sort of gimmick behind it that force the limitation. What you've got, the monochrome mapping project, you've got the one tag project, the list just goes on. It's easy to be cynical about sort of thing, but at the same time, when you look at it that way, it's actually quite handy. I don't know why I don't put it myself.
As long as the end result is a perfectly playable, solid WOD, then hey, whatever works for you.
Actually, that's interesting that you mentioned that, because I'm not sure if you caught wind of the Program B Tango TV thing we did a week ago, and we were discussing community projects. But at one point we flagged up, when you're playing through a map set that focuses on like a limitation of some sort, to what extent do you, when you're judging a map set, to what extent do you just, do you think it's a good map set in and of itself, or do you become more critical of the map set in light of what it's trying to achieve, like as a limitation? For example, I mean, if you play through a 10-24 map, for example, then it's a really good map, but you don't think it makes intelligent use of the space or something like that. There are probably better examples.
I think the two best examples that I can think of that one has worked, one hasn't.
Yes.
I think the one that worked, which is a pretty obvious example, is Doom the Way It Did.
Yay.
Which, while being a highly pervasive sort of idea in that we're going to imitate, you know, a very specific style.
Yeah.
And, yeah, construct our ideas around what if.
Sure.
But that worked really well. And I think it was very natural to play and did not come across as a bad thing.
Right.
But on the other hand, back I think in 2006 it was released, there was a community project called The One Monster Watch.
Ah, yeah, that thing.
Which was just, that was something that got right in the player's face and pissed them off every step of the way.
Yeah. There are some limitations that I just personally don't understand why you would, why anyone would think it was fun or something. Just detracting from an integral gameplay mechanic.
For sure.
That doesn't really lend to, you know, like evolving a style or being creative. I suppose you can be creative with that sort of setup, but I mean, the moment you take away monster mixes, it just feels like more of a subtraction from the game rather than anything else.
I mean, that's not to say there's not some solid maps in there that aren't fun, but as an overall concept, I think it just limited the actual player's experience. It may have benefited the designers, but I think the end result was something that was not quite so enjoyable.
I suppose what I was trying to get with my previous question was let me come step back a little bit further and just address this, because when I was asking about Secret Santa, I mean, myself, it's incredibly easy for me to slip into someone else's style, because I don't have one. I don't have anything to corrupt, for example. I started Doom the Way It Did. I mean, it was actually the first map I made after I'd made like 5 and I was 13. I had no idea what they were. But it was incredibly easy for me to do. I mean, would you... And I feel like I've benefited from it immensely, personally. Would you suggest, like, to new mappers that they sort of go in and before finding their own style, sort of experiment with these sort of community projects, for example? Or do you just encourage them to sort of do whatever the hell they please? Because it seems to me that sometimes when you... A new guy might come along and say, hi, I want to make this super cool, awesome Megawatt. It's going to have X, X, and Y features, and it's going to be a blast, guys, !111. and you feel almost inclined to say, just hold on, Patrick, rein it in a bit. You know, come back to the back of it and do that. So, is there like a sort of approach you think new mappers should take, like in joining community projects, perhaps?
I think a community project can provide a pretty solid set of ground rules to sort of limit perhaps experimentation that a new mapper, while thinking that it's a fresh experience and that actually comes across as a horrible, horrible game experience, without them perhaps realizing it naively, but, you know, with the best of intentions, I think.
Sure.
But, so that can provide a playground for those sort of people. But I think, generally speaking, if someone's willing to take the time to experiment, play other people's maps, and see what works for them, what worked for others, and just playing and playtesting and putting their work out there, which I think is the most important part, because without feedback, you're not going to see how others perceive what you're doing, you know.
Actually, it's a bit unfortunate, because I have to confess that I've become a little bit jaded to the number of people who are, you know, make a new thread, if they're a new member, for example, and they say, check out my first WOD. There was a time when I would always check those out, but just through sheer probability of it not being good, which it's not really good on my part, because, you know, the Doom community benefits from new people, and it's basically its lifeblood.
For sure.
So, there are select number of people, like such as Pavera or Springy, just off the top of my head, or Katamora, for example, who always jump on these new threads and comment. And so they're really to be credited for that, I think. But
I think I have a fairly open-minded perspective on them, simply because how did I start? I mean, I approached Christus and he didn't just give me some assholish response, as some might, you know, think that he would have done, but he actually, you know, allowed me to thrive, and I think that's it's worth taking, you know, the 30 seconds to a couple of minutes just to look at the screenshots even. I mean, generally, it gives it away, the screenshots, right? And right. Just providing some basic feedback, some simple, you know, guidelines, and try and direct them without attempting to insult them.
Yeah, it's actually interesting. The starting block discussion for the talk that we were doing on Tango TV a week ago was one of, if you know Tarnsman, he's the author of Doomtree Redux, which still hasn't been released.
Sure.
Postponed because he's working on MaxNX at the moment. Mm-hmm. The starting block for that discussion was that he believed, or he wanted to talk about, the idea that the Doom community had slowly become, or at least on the Doom world, had slowly become a community of mappers rather than one of players, for example. And that's why you sort of see this increase in this sort of a willingness just to pump out first maps at an increased rate. And at the same time, you know, community projects coming out of the woodworks. Again, you know, avert your eyes to the eight gimmicky sort of map sets that are going on right now, and mods and mods on the first page. So, do you think it's a good an improvement on the Doom community? I suppose that's one way to put it. Would you sooner see like the rate of community projects sort of slow down and people just sort of develop their own styles more? Because I sort of concur with Tarnsman in identifying map sets like, and this is going to sound slightly harsh, I understand, map sets like Interception, for example, as as more amateur, for example, than something that a really dedicated team might go on and put out. Do you see a downside and an upside to that? The sort of increased rate of output on community projects of that sort of caliber, or do you just disagree with me entirely in thinking that they're of a, I don't want to say lesser quality, but
I think on the first point you raised of most people in the community, perceived people in the community being attempting to do level designs themselves, I think that's nothing short of a good thing, and I think a sign of the times with ease of access tools such as Doom Builder 2 and Slade making world editing and level design such an easy and accessible thing to do. And I think that's nothing but a good thing. But I think community level design projects that are all-inclusive are
right.
Perhaps not the best method for new designers to really get their own footing. I think they're going to be completely overshadowed by the fact that probably everyone else's content is, you know, inexperienced there too. Rather than putting their own map out there, even though they might only get four or five responses, they're going to get four or five responses directed, you know, entirely toward their one or two maps that they've put out, and they're going to get immediate feedback for them to grow on straight away, rather than waiting 6+ months for the entire community project to come out and, perhaps not get feedback on their map at all because people gave up roughly on map 6, you know.
That's right, yeah. I mean, if I were making a map set as a novice mapper, which I am, for that map set, and then I was to be told your map's going to be slated for map 26, but, oh, humbug. If it doesn't get the opening slot, then there's just no point. Sort of thing. That's a bit harsh. I mean, I guess a better example would just be a Peekoff community project, which was quite literally assembled by just going, "Hey, do you want to make 40 maps? Okay, let's go." And then there was no other structuring to it. And just looking at it at first, I'm inclined to think negatively about that. But maybe that's just an evolutionary stage of the community. And that's just something, you know, that we or just myself has to get used to. But, you know, community projects are moving in this direction where it's more production line, to speak nothing of the quality, of course.
Sure.
And there's a good side to this, maybe, in that, you know, community projects could become the sort of platform for novice players, and then they could go on to join teams, for example.
For sure. Yeah. I think a point worth making, though, is it's just the same problem, if you will, that more experienced people have when they contribute to community projects where, let's take the example of Community Chess 4.
Sure.
The two maps that everyone thinks of when they think Community Chess 4.
Bluefields Caspian's maps?
Exactly. the other maps have just been foreshadowed entirely pretty well by those two maps. I mean, it's a problem everyone has, not just not just the newbie people, but when you're in a community project, it just comes with that you know, title that you're going to struggle to stand out. I think the overall point of a community project is for the individual level designer to get feedback perhaps from other level designers, say within the community chess forum, rather than actual players. I think you're going to get more player response from your own individual release, but pros and cons.
I think in that respect, it's almost like these sort of projects function almost better as a process than, I don't want to say, that doesn't make sense to say as a result. But, I mean, you judge them as a process rather than by their end product. I mean, you don't. Of course you judge them by their end product, but I think we're increasingly judging them as a process or treating them as a process if you're involved in them. Like, if your map happens to have been, you know, buried under by or snowed under by all of the other quality maps out there, then, you know, at least you were part of the process and it was enjoyable to map for and you got some experience and go on to the next community project or go on to do your own project, for example.
Exactly. I mean, that's what anyone needs to take from whenever they release any project, is they need to figure out what they got from it. I mean, even if your project was just completely panned, you got something out of it. I mean, it's something, you know, you need to figure out for yourself. That part, no one can help you with.
Chris just brought up a very interesting point. It would have been a couple of weeks back now, in which he said that there needs to be a revival of teams. Basically, because I mean, we're talking about community projects now, but I mean, I think it's pretty true to say that teams or named teams don't really exist anymore, or have sort of diminished. I suppose you could highlight the back to Satniks as a team, although actually, the sort of people involved there were that sort of had a lichen style, or they're all friends or knew each other beforehand, and there's sort of a snowballed in popularity that way. That's more like-minded mappers, I think. Getting on the app rather than a sort of recruitment process. And if you think back to map sets like Memento Mori 2, I think you actually had to basically take an exam if you wanted to submit a map for that project. You had to find the leader, I can't remember who it was, and you had to email a map to him, and then he said, if it's good enough, coach you, then you can join. I mean, the process has changed a lot. Do you think there should be a revival of teams?
I'm not sure should is the right word, but I think it would be interesting to see more team-based projects for sure. I mean, Team Future, for example, just dominated the early scene with RTC. That really showed people, I think, just how a dedicated team, you know, with a whole bunch of different people with different skill sets, musicians, writers, coming together to create a product rather than just a level design team. That was an overall, you know, a group of people with many talents overall combining to make one product. I think that would be interesting to see again, for sure.
Absolutely. Especially in pairing the idea of a sort of resurrection of team-based map making with the idea of community projects serving as a sort of platform for newer mappers or just to flex your ability in adapting to a new style or something like that, like the Secret Center mapping project, which isn't, of course, for novice mappers at all. I personally think that, you know, that sort of pairing of community projects filling that role and then team projects fulfilling a more sort of discipline-based or focused role would be actually a very good pairing in the community to have, a very productive one, one that sort of keeps the wheel turning, keeps new blood, you know, focused and moving in a certain direction, keeps everything going quite well. This has been, I think we've covered the bases. Shame we didn't get any questions, really, because this is the point at which I'd usually ask them. And I'm sure if we'd announced you're taking part in Tango TV early, we might have actually got some, or I would have held a gun to someone's head and threatened to pull the trigger. Anyway, Are there any projects that are coming out shortly that you're working on?
I actually haven't touched the editor in a couple of months now. Instead, I've been focusing on getting my music album out there.
Oh, wow.
Is due out next month sometime.
No kidding. How are you releasing it?
I'll be self-releasing it through Bandcamp, but there'll be roughly half of the soundtrack that was on Absolute Order on there, many of which with vocals now and updated mixes and such.
Nice.
So that's very exciting for me.
Oh, it's a shame I'm not more versed in more well versed in the production process of music and stuff, because I know to have S on the program and to sort of talk about that at length, or Jimmy, for example, or Stewboy would have been invaluable.
Right.
Yeah, but what's it called? Does it have a name?
I think it's going to be called Absolute Order at this point, but yeah, with the artist name being Zed Taxia, and I had there was a thread at some point in the everything else section hidden away somewhere about a few music tracks that I was working on from time to time, but that's a few months old now, so I'll revitalize that when when I'm ready.
No, you definitely should, because I had no idea you were musically oriented. Everyone's musically oriented these days. I should get it. Actually, no, I shouldn't. I'm rubbish.
Yeah, yeah.
I got a D for music studies back at my school, so that's
to be honest, I think I consider music my main forte as of last year, perhaps, and instead I consider the level design more of something I'm very comfortable doing and can sit back and relax and,
I feel quite appalled now that I didn't know this beforehand. I would have dedicated a little bit more time to talking about it, but maybe in future, when you become world famous, you can come back and talk about it at length. If you're around in the Doom community after that
The only music work I've really released at all has been the soundtracks for both my two Strife projects. I wrote music for both of those.
Oh, well, okay. Any plans to pick up the editor anytime soon and get back to work?
Yeah, for sure. I'd really like to do a speedy shit of sorts for Strife at some point. That really appeals to me. Where I could just pump out a ton of maps there and then just work on hubs to bring them all together and then, get the map geometry down quick, and then I can focus on, story and, such other things, and with the maps being done pretty quickly, hopefully.
Totally looking forward to that. So I think we've covered all the bases, hopefully, unless there's anything else you'd like to talk about or flag up for attention. I'd like to thank your roommates, your parents, your goldfish.
Yeah, well, I guess I'd like to thank Christus for, being there and being my friend for all these years. And,
oh, wow. Yeah. So I thought I was being facetious there, and I was actually... thanks very
he deserves
much.
It.
Yeah, thanks very much for appearing on the program.
Thank you, Alfonso.
Yeah, it's been a very successful interview, I feel. And hopefully this will entice others to join the fray, and God damn it, for the community to actually submit some
questions. Send in some questions.
Yeah, for the subsequent interviews. Thanks once again, and this has been Tango TV. Sadly, without Tango, don't know where he's gone, to be perfectly honest with you. and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.